very much.
I'm big in shopping. thanks very much to Paul Casey for inviting me and for providing the space and the time for poetry in Cork. The first thing I read is an indication of how things might go for the rest of my reading. It's called I Will Gabble. No matter, my dream of you will not. You rang out of the blue. I was tumbling about, moiling as usual. The phone stopped me in my tracks. I had long since stopped believing in a world that could take my breath away, but there you were, phoning and asking to meet me for lunch. Such a small thing, for me, a miracle. Asking to meet me, still shaking from the shock of seeing you in the street after one of our 8-year intervals. The lopsided smile, the mystifying eyes, the bulk of you, just one big question mark I wanted to file away under to cry about. And then you rang, caught me on the turn in the stair, dogged in my belief in an earth bent on its predictable axis, I in my runnel, pecking and scratching forever. And instead I was picking up the phone, and there you were, my heart ripped from its coat of mail and tap dancing all over my chest. And no matter, I will gabble, and you will look at me as at something you couldn't make up. And no matter, my dream of you will never, you rang. I really appreciate the clapping. Don't think I have to talk to you. I just gallop on. The limits of radio. Oh no, I've gone on me now. The limits of radio. When I travel, a silver yacht boy is my sole companion, signaling the world, transmitting me over oceans, deserts, sealing my raft in concentric circles of static and babble. But yacht boy cannot save me from you, from thoughts of how I might capture you in waves, net you in short frequencies. The needle spins along the bands, swivels to the north, to the east, picking up Armenian, Portuguese, Arabic, and mermaid turbulence. Where you were, only the rasping of electrical storms, the rattle of hulls and blanched bones, hiss of lungs filling with white noise. Was that you I heard, faint, as you sank beneath the sedimentation of voices? The next poem is called Wader, and it's dedicated to my father, passed who's down there somewhere. Wader. The starting whiteness of muscled legs gives the lie to your sloping gait. You, who can remember the names of dogs and horses from ancient times, races won by what length, runners down the field, ones that fell at the last. Is that you dragging there, black shoes heavy in your hand? Pride of Era ran at Epsom on the day you were born. A sprinter, a fighter, a healer of horses in a place that could not feed you or found you, only give you a wild greening. I watch your slow tread on the earth's rim, your faith in the healing power of salt water. Mahal. Mahal means palace in Hindi. Mahal. For you I ran ragged round India, with bowl and stick and fraying bundle, I hauled myself through persimmon palaces. I begged to swim out to you at Jal Mahal, water pavilion mired in mud. At Chandra Mahal, the moon turned her face of ice to the pilgrim clacking beads at the gate. Shrieking in halls of victory and pleasure, I flew from 1,000 broken windows, and for my pains, the weeping of Maharani. For you, I fell down India's secret wells, lugging bones in the dark water chambers of Jaisalmer. I was burned on the ghats at Varanasi, came back as an elephant at Birla Mandir. At Golden Devi, the goddess consecrated my ghost. You had returned me to the wind, long since my words had been snowflakes, ashes. My letters of love, my spectral songs, I let them drift on the forest floors of night, praying Krishna to let you find them before the tiger did, before the white mountain melted, washing into the Ganges. Pastorel, which I think means pastoral in French. You sit in my shade, fill your face with my berries, watch nearby hills for shepherd girls, their games dancing them down, down a dust track to where small feet will press in worn ghost tracks, where winds crying in reeds will drive them wild, drive them into your circle of pandemonium. Skittish, you sit in my shade, stretching and scuffing your spine against my skin, passing the time. Izmir. Izmir is a city in Turkey, to which I've never been, and I believe that it was once part of Greece and was the centre of much turmoil. It was captured by the Romans, it was subsequently captured by the Ottomans, etc., a place of great trouble over the centuries. But I've never been there, and I've simply read about it in a guidebook. Izmir. Should I happen to be visiting you in August, by the way, it used to be called Smyrna long ago. Should I happen to be visiting you in August, Izmir, would I scuttle in the shadow of your palms, your silk road, your velvet castle? Would I drag in your aisles, march my tin soldiers on your aqueduct, on your Amazonian queen, your smeltery of races cutting and stirring and picking on thresholds? What are you to me that I should weep for you? I have never seen you, and yet, should I happen to be visiting you in August, Smyrna, my love, I would kneel in your 100 houses of prayer and know that I had knelt in all of them before 100 times, paced your dark galleries, swallowed the dust of your feet and raisins, crept over every inch of your sea walls. And when I had done visiting you in August, Izmir, I would merge with your craggy panorama at sunset and curse you, O pearl of the Aegean. Thank you. This poem is called Persephone, and as you know, Persephone, according to the Greek myth, was abducted by the king of the underworld and brought to Hades. And was only released because her mother, Demeter, a very, very powerful goddess, declared that nothing would ever grow on earth again until her daughter was released from hell. However, due to a mishap upon her return, she was only allowed to return for, depending on the version you read, half a month, or a part of the month, and so she became, I suppose, symbolic of springtime, because she returns from the underworld at spring and brings growth back to the earth. So I wrote this poem at the end of a long winter, when it seemed like spring would never come. Persephone. St. Bridget's Day has come and gone, and I am unbound from my tomb, adrift in chambered earth, listening for sounds. Dull drubbing of dryads in leaves, twitching of bone-dry twigs, dripping of ice water from rock. But nothing moves in the earth above my head. I feel the dull weight of trees, mute prisoners on a hill, hacked back for new growth. The sad machinery of spring has not yet begun its slow picking open of cauterized hide, letting pistils weep again, feel the palsy of frost-scarred stems. From my grave I look upon the crucified forms, rags of sycamore against a mouse grey sky, stumpy limbs of butchered lime, claws of ash frozen in their grasping at air. All is waiting, feeding on the food of the dead. What hope for us, rooted in Hades, unfurling, forever opening our palms to Demeter's elusive touch, reaching to the mother who cannot save us now, did not save us then, when we set out across the field of flowers. The next poem is inspired by the music of Hoagy Carmichael. I don't know if you know the music of Hoagy Carmichael. It's very I can't sing. Otherwise, I'd sing you one of them. But anyway, he was a wonderful singer and songwriter who was recording, I think, in the 1920s and 30s. And he wrote songs like I get along without you very well, and the weirdness of you is another one of Hoagy Carmichael's songs. Buttermilk Sky, etc. Freddie White. Jerry. Freddie White. Murphy knows the music of Hoagy Carmichael better than I do, I'm quite sure. Anyway, so I've stolen a couple of lines from Hoagy Carmichael, and the poem, as you would, and the poem is called But I Should Never Think of Spring. You brought a ghost with you, her prince in the softening earth, her snowy breath on the windowpane, on the mirrors, but mostly clinging to the air between us, to our lips, to the voice of Hoagy Carmichael as he sang I Get Along Without You Very Well. You didn't know his music, but fell when you heard that, saying you had never heard such a song, saying you wanted to hear all his songs, your eyes full of soft rain dripping from leaves, your voice full of sheltering in her arms. I lay beside you and listened, looking into the dark eyes of the fox, the dark eyes of the owl, and Hoagy singing, it's not the pale moon that excites me, that thrills and delights me, oh no. It's just the nearness of you. The nearness, you listening for a name or someone's laugh that is the same. And the next poem is set in Berlin. By the way, this is the second last poem. It's important to say that. I know you'd be very anyway, so, at the zoo. At the zoo. He took me mainly to places of leave-taking. Bahnhof Grunewald, Auschwitz, Belsen, the grave of Heinrich von Kleist at the Wannsee, and airy galleries hung only with paintings of death. Pulled me running through the tunnels of the S-Bahn as if our lives depended on some eastbound train we were about to miss. But the aquarium stopped us in our tracks. We spent hours there, days pressing our faces against the icy violet jellyfish gliding on their eddies and backdrafts, their silken roof threads quivering to pulse waves pulling against the vortex. Clasping cold fingers, we would eye the hybrid lives of the zoo. Feather-toed hens, dwarf donkeys, kangaroo rats, and dream a stampede of roaring ghost animals in the tear garden on the run from the trains. The trees in the zoo's park were still frozen in their early bud, pushing small flowers into air full of the mewling of unseen birds. Snowflakes falling on the spray were tiny gulls. The yellow uvan took us home, its bulbs rocking, pale petals fluttering in the arc of its headlamp. And lastly, a poem that was written this summer, and it's about wondering what remains of the summer. And the poem is called What's Left. Oh, by the way, I've seen a few lines from Leonard Cohen in this. So see if you can spot them. With thanks to Leonard Cohen. I carried it round all summer on scraps of worn paper in various bags, on trains, on two planes, feeling it had the makings of something, but now the moment has come. I cannot lay my hands on the damn thing. It has flowered without me, complete in its vanishing act, leaving me never to know what it was that made me cling to its threads. Was it a coded journal of a man on a broken hill, silhouette against the mackerel sky in a wet Dublin field, calling to someone in a crowd to dance in through curtains that kisses have outworn, promising to raise a tent of shelter though every thread is torn? Or a secret history of goats lolling in foxgloves on a cliff edge, and long grasses rolling in waves with the breeze from the North Harbour on Cape Clear? Or a red prayer flag for the rain, the endless summer rain falling on Fitzgerald Park, on the piles of sweating rose petals, on the sleek boy in the lily pond? Is he pulling a thorn from the sole of his foot? Or a bird notebook full of the spindly egrets wading in the salt marshes between Narbonne and Perpignan, seen from a train, the heavy bodies of gulls lumbering above the tile roof of a Mediterranean graveyard? What remains of my calendar of rain and burning blue, my portrait of a man standing on a rock, saluting with his hat the vast emptiness of the waves, asking to be lifted like an olive branch? Thank you.